I don't know when the messages will get posted. It seems like there's been a little bit of a delay recently, but you make sure you get to listen to what Leanne shared this earlier at Equip. It was so good. It was just so good. And my message sort of, I guess, dovetails a little bit with that. I want to talk tonight a little bit about wisdom and revelation. And where this is coming from is it's so easy for us, especially when we've been well-educated in a good word church. You know, sometimes you just pick things up or you learn things just because you've heard them so much. But that doesn't mean it's real to us. And that's where the danger is. Sometimes people can recite things. They can say things off the top of their head. They know what the word says, but yet there still is this disconnect because it doesn't seem like it's working very well. And I'm one of those people, you know, I've said this many, many times in Equip class, that I want to know why it's not working. If something's not working, I want to know why. I don't want to just keep going along and pretending everything's great. I want to know if it's not working. I want to know why it's not working. And so, you know, we all have questions about areas of our lives. Sometimes there's hurdles that we haven't been able to make it over in our, maybe our personal life, in a ministry, maybe success in a business, maybe there's a family thing going on. Maybe it's just our finances, our personal finances. But we have questions, and we need those questions to be answered. We shouldn't go, if we're suffering from a physical thing, we shouldn't just have to go year after year after year with no resolution. Amen. That is not God's will. Amen. Jesus never left people in the state that they showed up.
Amen.
They came, they got healed, and they went healed. Or they left because they were in unbelief. But he didn't leave people in the place that they were when they showed up. And so for us to continue to linger in certain places, lingering in a place of financial want, that is not God. And, you know, we should get, we're living in a time, of course, this is the whole New Testament, but we're living in a time where it says in Romans chapter 8 that all of creation is waiting for us to come into our own.
Amen.
They are waiting for the church to begin to be what it is, which is a supernatural entity, not a natural thing, a supernatural thing. So everything about our life should be marked by the supernatural. Now, that doesn't mean that we're walking on clouds, you know, or that we can't talk to people because we're in the spirit. We're not talking about that kind of thing, but our life should be marked by the supernatural. There should be an element of the supernatural all of the time.
Yes.
And you know, if there's questions, be honest with your questions. You know, Amen. You know, I've been on a healing journey over the last year or so. And, in fact, it was just a year this week. It was a year ago that I had my surgery. Yay!
Wow.
And, but, you know, every once in a while, there's still little things. There's little things, you know, that try to bring what Leanne talked about, which is these evil imaginations. Mm. Well, you know what that is. You know what this is. And you have to know what to do with that. Yes. You have to know. You can't take a day and go, oh, I'll deal with that later. You have to deal with it right away. Because how many of you know that weed seeds, have you ever noticed how quickly weeds spring up?
Yeah.
You know, they could have just mowed our lawns in the back. You know, you look up this beautiful vista, you know. And we don't have to do anything to keep it that way, which is so wonderful. But that's the best part. We don't have to do anything to look at what we're looking at. But you look out there, and they had just mowed a couple days ago, and here's a dandelion this big. How did that happen? It's the nature of a weed. Well, that's the nature of those high false imaginations, too. If you don't get on that bugger immediately, it'll be like this. Immediately, it'll be this big, and you'll have a heck of a time dealing with it. And so, you know, if you have questions, be honest. Just go to God and say, I have questions.
Yeah.
I want to know why something's not working. I want to know why these symptoms continue to linger. I want to know why I haven't seen victory for this thing or that thing, or what's holding up my financial breakthrough.
Yeah.
You be honest with God. You know, instead of going to him and say, well, we've done this and I've done that, and you know, and try to hold up these spiritual merit badges. But there's things that he wants us to know. And so we've been talking a lot in the Equip class about the ministry of the Holy Spirit for several weeks, just aspects of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful thing is, the good news is that God has answers for every one of those questions
Amen.
That we might have. If maybe you've been sharing with someone, and you're trying to win them, you know, to the Lord, and you have not been able to get through to them. There just hasn't been that breakthrough in that area. Well, you know, God has answers for that. He has an answer for why that is. And He's a liberal giver. You know, it tells us in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" So He already gave the best up front. Yeah. That would be like if somebody said, "Hey, I want to meet with you tomorrow. How about if we get together? I have something I'd like to give you." And they drive up with a 2018 Beamer. And it's your, and they have the keys there. And they hand you the keys. And you take that thing home. But you notice there's no, well, I can't imagine that this would be true, but there's no nice floor mat in that car. You know? Now, do you think that if you went to that person and asked them for some nice floor mats for that Beamer, do you think that that would be a problem? Didn't they already give you the very best thing up front?
Yeah. Right.
You know, those other things are all incidental. They're incidental things. There's so many things that God wants us to see and know. He doesn't want us to have questions that are unanswered or unfulfilled. He doesn't want us to be just getting by financially. Right. Part of the act of redemption was a financial breakthrough and provision. Mm-hmm. We have to get rid of the stinking thinking about this. You know, the church has been so religious about money. Oh, you know, the money is the root of all evil. No, it is not. The love of money is the root of all evil. If you love to give, then you have no problem with the love of money. If you're a lover of giving, if you love to be a blessing and to serve people with finances, that is not an evil thing. That's not the root of all evil. I mean, we can just go on and on and on about that. I mean, I get really stirred up when it comes to financial stuff because we have seen our way through such hell in that area over the years to a place where God has blessed us and we're continuing to see blessing and we continue to just increase our giving and increase it and increase it. And it's like you just cannot outgive God. And the Word is full of promises about that, but that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. But if you have questions about an area of your life, don't just be honest with God. Just go and sit and spend time with Him. We need to make time every day for what's important. Because, you know, our life here is like this.
That's right.
Like this.
That's right.
Compared to what's coming.
That's right.
So let's get ready for what's coming. Let's make that a priority instead of tending to everything about this life and making all those things so important that we don't have time to spend time with God and to fulfill what we're called here to do, because we each have a call in our life. You were born for a reason. You know, when I hear parents say, "Oh, this is my little mistake," or "This is my little," you know, people will talk about their kids like this one was kind of like their little boo-boo. Yeah, their oops.
Yes.
It's like they weren't God's oops.
That's right.
He knew them before they were even formed in their mother's womb.
Right.
And He has a purpose and He has a call for them. And that's true for us. There's a reason we're here. And God is a liberal giver. He will give us whatever we need to become all that we're meant to be. You know, there's hidden treasures for every one of us someplace where there's a treasure chest with all the gifts and callings of God in it. And we just have to find what the keys are to get in there. And you know what? God's not hiding those things from us. He wants to give us that wisdom liberally. In fact, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says that the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding.
Yeah.
So if we have questions, you know, we don't need to go to a self-help program or book or to listen to some mentor, unless it's a spiritual one. We need to go to the source of wisdom. And that wisdom isn't talking about something that we can get from book learning. It's talking about special insight that's supernatural. That's what wisdom we're talking about. And so, you know, that's wisdom for the situations we find ourselves in, those questions that we're grappling with about that person that we know that we're trying to win and we just haven't been able to just connect in such a way that we've convinced them that Jesus is the only way. You know, do you know God has an answer for that?
Yes.
It's not our great argument that's going to win them. And yet people are trying to win this intellectual battle with unsaved people. You're not going to win them that way. Paul said that it's not my intellectual knowledge that's going to win people to the Lord. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is all about. He says it wasn't enticing words of men's wisdom. It was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power of God that aroused things in those people's hearts and got their attention. See, that's what we need to be believing. Remember, we're supernatural beings. We are supernatural entities, and we need to have that touch of the supernatural in our lives. So the wisdom God wants to give us is wisdom for the questions that we've got. How to succeed in a business or a ministry. You know, you may not be called to fivefold ministry, but if you're called to business, that's ministry. If that's where God's called you, then that's ministry. That's ministry because God wants to use you in that place to minister to people. He wants to use your gainful employment to be a blessing to the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, we support missionaries that go out into the places we'll never go. And when it costs them tens of thousands of dollars to make a trip to those places, then who's going to pay those things?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the ones to support that missionary call? Who's going to be the ones to do that? It's got to be the church. We're the ones that have to do that. So God has answers for us to step into those places of financial prosperity. That's what God wants for us. He wants that for us. That's not for just a few. Oh, no, that's just for people that have giving gifts on their in their life. So I believe there are people with special anointings to be givers. But I believe the whole church should be givers.
Amen.
All of us should be givers. So how do we reach our families? How do we reach our neighbors, our coworkers? All those things. You know that God has the key to every single human heart. He knows exactly what you can say. Amen. That's going to unlock the objections that they have. You can think all I have to do is just have the better argument. Listen, the danger with the argument side of it is sooner or later they might have a better argument than yours. Then who's going to be talked out of what they believe? It's going to take what God knows to reach some people. So how are we going to reach our family, our neighbors, our coworkers? How? He knows people's hearts. He knows them. He's the one who knows how to get us to where he wants us to be. And so we can spend hours, days, even weeks and years conjuring up thoughts and studying and trying to apply ourselves to get natural wisdom for how to deal with these things. And all the while, he has those answers for us. He has wisdom. It says it's out of his mouth that wisdom comes. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've been looking at this passage on and off quite a bit in the Equip class. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I'm going through my personal devotional time, and I've been dealing with some symptoms, and those symptoms, if they linger for a couple days, you know, I don't just let that go. I don't just, you know, it'll go away or it'll pass. It's like what Leanne talked about. You need to do what you know to do. And the first thing is, for me, is I go to God. Okay, what's going on? You know what? And you know what? I'm not afraid about what might be going on. That's the one thing. You've got to get fear out of your vocabulary. You know what? What's the worst thing the devil can do? Kill you. Right? What a big loss. See, it's not until you can laugh at that thought. It's not until you can laugh at that and see that, you know what? What's the worst he can do? So you die and you go on to be with the Lord. Now, praise God, it's better to get the victory and stay. Amen. That's way better because we can't affect a whole lot of people if we're dead. Amen. But if you have that attitude, if he, you know, fear is a huge open doorway for the enemy to come in and bring all manner of evil work. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. So what is this saying? This is telling us that there are epiphanies. You know, an epiphany is like, I saw it. I got it. The light. Dennis was exhorting us and Leanne about the light. It's an epiphany. It's an insight. It's a key of some kind. There are those things that our eyes have not yet seen,
yes.
our ears have not yet heard,
mm-hmm.
and our hearts have not yet received regarding how to win that coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we had received it, if it had entered and if we had heard it, we'd be doing it.
Yeah.
We'd be walking in it.
That's right.
But there's a lot of things we that haven't even dawned on us yet.
Mm-hmm.
That would make our lives a whole lot better, and the walk would be a whole lot more supernatural.
Yep.
If it was entering into the eyes and ears, if we were getting what the Holy Ghost wants to show us, that wisdom that it says that God wants to give us. So there's epiphanies, there's insights, there's keys, and it says it's all the things that God has prepared for us. Now, if somebody is coming to your house for dinner. And you told them you had prepared dinner for them. Does that mean when they get there, y'all run off to McDonald's? Does it? What does that mean? That means it's already done.
Yeah.
You've already prepared it. It's already ready for them to partake of. It's already there. It's already yours. It's already there for you to enjoy. And it tells us here that these things that God has prepared for us, a lot of them haven't even entered our eyes. We haven't even begun to see what God has prepared for us or hear what God has prepared. It hasn't entered into our hearts yet what God has prepared. Again, pertaining to speaking to our neighbors, our family members, our coworkers, having a God wisdom idea for how to have a completely different kind of real estate business.
Amen.
Something that's never been done before.
Mm-hmm.
Something that no natural man has ever seen, because this isn't the kind of wisdom that comes into the natural eyes or ears or heart. This is a supernatural thing. It's got God's hand on it.
Yep.
And so it says God has prepared these things and makes and keeps them ready for those who love him. And so, you know, if you have a question about something, you know where the answer is. It's in God. You know, it's not go buy another self-help book. You know, or go listen to some. Now, I'm not against listening to people's good stuff, because we do it too a lot. We feed on other good things. But, you know, my first place to go
Amen.
Is here.
That's right.
And God talks to me, and he speaks to me through his word and shows me things. That other stuff, those are like vitamins. You know, I mean, this is the meat and potatoes. This is your three squares a day. The stuff that we are listening to and feed on from other people, those are our supplements.
Mm-hmm.
It should be our supplements. That should not be our primary feeding. It should
right.
just be a supplement to what God's already showing you. So he's prepared these wonderful things. He's made them and keeps them ready for us. So there's things that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not being successful winning that person, guess what? It's because you haven't seen or heard what you need to see and hear yet.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't entered into your heart yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that you haven't shared some good things with them. You know, if you plant the seed of God's word, that's how people get born again. But there's a key. There's always a key with every single... With me, remember, when we were being ministered to by a person, the person who was trying to win us, she gave us a tape. It was a Jimmy Swagger tape. Now, you know what? I was a little Catholic girl, so listening to Jimmy Swagger screaming, spitting... You know, and all the voice inflections and things that went along with that kind of ministry was not what I was used to. But he said one thing on that tape that I should have known, but I didn't know. And that was that Jesus went to hell for me. And I'll tell you, that exploded on the inside of me. I don't think I heard anything else on that tape, anything else that was said. But that one thing had such an impact on, I was ready to sign on the dotted line after that. When I realized that that kind of love was there for me. And so God knows that key, that to that what that person needs to hear. He knows that key, and he can give us that key. Amen? And so the reason we're not seeing them, we're not appreciating or realizing or experiencing what God's already prepared and kept ready, sometimes it's for an appointed time. Now, I'm treading out here with trepidation, because we hear a lot of time people talk about it's God's timing. And most of the things when people talk about God's timing, is completely wrong, because most of the things they talk, well, it's not my timing yet to get healed. No, listen, that was an established reality through the work of redemption. That's a now thing that belongs to you. That isn't a timing. There are timing things. There are things such as callings, that there's a timing element to it, perhaps. Sometimes there's some growing up we need to do in an area before God can show us something. You know, so it might be some truth to some of that. But he's already prepared those things. He's already made them available and keeps them ready for us. But they're veiled. It's like there's a veil over it. Now, when we, years and years ago, we went on a trip. And we were driving up the East Coast. And it was very late at night. And we'd gone through a bunch of major metropolitan areas. And we came to an area in Maine. And the town was called York. And we came to this little bed and breakfast, and it was pitch dark. It was really late at night. It was very dark. And so we stopped at this place called York Harbor in York, Maine. And we checked in, got our room, and went to sleep because we were really tired. We'd driven a lot that day. The next morning when we woke up and we looked out the window, we were absolutely blown away at the view from that place. But you know, the night before, we didn't see any of it because we were in the dark. That incredible, gorgeous view. We are on this little bay right on the Atlantic Ocean. It was just incredible, the view there. And the water was really still, and it was just an October.
All color.
Was just gorgeous. But, you know, it was there the night before, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was no less there the night before. It was just that we couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. See, the answers that we need are that way. They're there. They're already there. They're already available to us. It's just that we don't see them. So it's not that we have to try to convince God to produce an answer for us or to prepare an answer for us. It's already there. It's already available to us. It belongs to us. So we go on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels, and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. So there are things that are hidden and beyond our scrutiny. That means there are things that I hate to use the word peanut brain, because we know somebody who says that a lot. One of our favorite ministers talks about using our peanut brain, because not everyone has a peanut brain, obviously. But if something's beyond our scrutiny, that means it's beyond our ability to study it or examine it or to probe and explore it. It's beyond the realm of human intelligence. That's what this is talking about. The Holy Spirit works in the realm beyond human intelligence. It's something that you can't study to learn. Something that you can't do a book learning and studying to get your head around it. He goes on to say, what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within in him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So what's that telling us? It's telling us that the thoughts of God are within God, but we have the Spirit of God. So that means we have the thoughts of God. So the questions that we have, the answers that we need, the remedies, the cures, whatever they are, the things that we need. Now, I'm not saying we don't use our minds. We need to use our minds. God gave us brains and we should use them. But there's some things that we will never figure out with our brains.
That's right.
Because they're spiritually discerned.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, this is, you know, even with my own healing journey, there was a period of time at the beginning that I thought, okay, you know, I'm a three-part person. I'm spirit, I'm soul, I'm body. Yes, I'm healed, but I'm going to apply myself to this physically too. And so I was determined I was going to go on a specific type of eating regimen, and I kind of started going down that road, and the Holy Ghost is so faithful. He said, don't depend on that, you know. I had to hear that from him. He said, don't you depend on that. Now, there's nothing wrong, and we should take care of our physical bodies, amen? There's some things you should just be tending to. But he didn't want me depending on a diet. He wanted me to depend on him so that he got all the glory. You know? Otherwise, what do? We get together feeling all you do is you talk about how you did this and you did that, and that's what got you well.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's not true. I know what got me well was trusting in God,
Amen.
Dwelling in the secret place where I knew I was fixed and I was stable, knowing that in that secret place there was no foe that could withstand that mighty healing power of God.
That's right.
That's not talking about eating spinach. Amen. That's talking about something supernatural. So it says we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, going on in verse 12, but we have received the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that this is why he was given, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. So it's already what God has prepared ahead of time for us. The Holy Spirit's been given so that we can realize those things, comprehend them, and appreciate them. Without the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, when he was here, he said, without me you can do nothing. Then he told the disciples, he said, I'm going away and there's another comforter coming. So if without Jesus they could do nothing, then you know what that tells me? Without the Holy Spirit we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Yet the church has tried to do a lot without him. So without him, we can do nothing. Now, what's nothing? It's nothing. Is there anything outside of nothing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So how serious are we taking that? It's kind of funny, actually. And verse 13 says, and we are setting these truths forth, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned, estimated, and appreciated. You know, this natural man isn't just a reference to unsaved people. This natural man here that verse 14 is talking about human beings that are governed by their own natural human abilities, intellects, and strengths.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that apply to us? We trust in ourselves.
Yeah.
We trust in ourselves to win that neighbor.
Yeah.
We trust in ourselves to financially prosper. We trust in what we do. We're trusting in all the things we know, all these natural things. You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with being a wise steward. We should be good stewards over the finances. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about stewardship. But this is talking about a lifestyle that doesn't depend on God. And yet our whole life should be marked by dependence upon God.
Hallelujah.
Our whole life should be, because all of creation is waiting for us to come into our place.
Hallelujah.
To step into our place. So, you know, people ask, do I have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? You know, this shouldn't even be a question in the church today. Do I have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know what that would be like? Go back to our car example. That would be like saying you just bought a car and saying, do I need to buy gas?
Come on. There you go.
No, you don't have to buy gas, but you know, you're not going to get very far. Are you, Kevin? Tell me, is that a really big revelation? It's common sense, right? You know, can people be a good person and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Of course they can. Of course they can. But we're not going to get very far in the gifts and callings of God.
Right.
We're not going to get very far. We're not going to have a life that's marked by the supernatural.
That's right.
Okay. If we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about that again. That's not what this message is. You're just not going to get very far without it.
That's right.
You're not going to be very effective without it. You're going to be left with a dependence on your own wisdom, your natural understanding, your own abilities. And that just doesn't get us very far. I always like to ask people, how's that working for you? You know, it just doesn't work. So again, a strategic part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is revealing to us what our eyes haven't seen, what our ears haven't heard, and what has not yet entered into our hearts. So if there's an area of your life that there's a big question mark there, Lord, what about this? You know why you're asking that? Because you haven't seen it yet. You haven't heard it yet. It hasn't hit your heart yet. It hasn't registered on your heart yet.
No.
But does that mean it's not there for you? No, it's there for you. It's right. God's already prepared that. He's
right.
Already prepared it. Yes. So we just need the light, just like us opening up that window that morning and looking out and going, oh my gosh, this is incredible. When did this show up? Wow, when did this all show up? No, it was there all along. We just couldn't see it because we didn't have light.
Yep.
We were lacking something that was important. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
Now in Matthew chapter 16, I love this passage of scripture because in Matthew 16 we see this experience with Peter and Jesus. Matthew 16:13, it says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, you didn't study. You didn't cogitate and spend time thinking and mulling this over and come up with this thought. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus answered him and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for I already read that. Flesh and blood has not revealed to this. And he says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Hmm.
Now, I was raised in the Catholic Church. We were taught that Peter, you know, this was telling Peter, you're going to be the pillar of the church, the head of the church. I don't think Pope ever entered into this conversation. But what was Jesus really saying to him? Peter didn't come to this understanding by natural reasoning. It came to him. It was an epiphany. He saw something he had never thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the Messiah. This is who this is. Wow. It was like a wow moment, an aha moment. It was like, wow, the lights came on. A veil was removed. He saw something he had never seen before or never thought of before. It was what we would call a supernatural revelation. And what does Jesus say about that? He said, it's on that I'm going to build my church.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to build my church on supernatural revelation. So in other words, I'm going to add to my church through supernatural. I'm going to add people one by one by supernatural revelation. When people come to the Lord, it's because they see something. It's like, wow, Jesus died for me.
Yes.
He took my place. God's not angry at me. God loves me. They start seeing stuff, starts entering into those eyes, and they start hearing things, and all of a sudden that's all they see. They don't see what they saw before. It's a supernatural revelation. And the other thing Jesus said about building the church on supernatural revelation, he says the gates of hell won't prevail against it.
Right.
So there's nothing the devil has.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing he has can prevail against revelation knowledge.
That's right.
That's why once you see it, Leanne talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Once you see it, the devil can't do anything. He can't do anything. He can't take that away from you. Now, unless you stop attending to it.
That's
I'm not
going
to say that. You have to continue to attend to it. So Jesus said this is how the church would be built, and this is how the gates of hell would not be allowed to prevail against it. You know, Psalm 197 says something very similar. It says, except the Lord build the house. And I think we could say through supernatural revelation, it says they labor in vain who build it. How many of us are laboring in vain financially? How many of us are laboring in vain in a business? Laboring in vain in a marriage? Laboring in vain trying to witness to a coworker because we're relying on our great wisdom, our lofty words of wisdom, our arguments and debates, instead of what the Holy Ghost wants us to share. So except the Lord does it, it's going to be built in vain. So Jesus goes on to say, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I believe that revelation knowledge is part of those keys. And he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, keys are symbolic of power. You know, if you close on a house, what's the first thing they do with you after the closing is finished? They give you the keys. Mm-hmm. You now have power to enter into that home and to do what you can. Paint the walls any color you want. Mm-hmm. You can tear up the carpet. You can put psychedelic posters and strobe lights in there. You can do whatever you want because you've got the power. Amen? You have authority. You have power. And that's what God gave us. Not all that stuff, but he gave us, he made available to us the keys that would enable the church to take absolute authority in this world. Absolute authority. And again, is the church walking there? No. I think we're limping along. I think we're on our way, but I think for the most part, most Christians are just limping along. They're just barely making it. They look in the mirror and they think, is that all there is? Is there anything more than what I've experienced? There's a whole lot more than what we've experienced. Amen? So the truths of God's word are not locked away from us. They're locked for us. They're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 goes on to say. It says, God has unveiled and revealed them for us through his Spirit. So the Holy Spirit knows everything that we're facing in life. He knows every situation. And you know, the best part about it is that that's what he's here for. And that's what he wants to do. That's his ministry. Jesus said when he came, he would do all these wonderful things. John 14, 15, 16 tells us all the wonderful things he would do. One of them is that he would be in close fellowship with us. Do you know that it's delightful for the Holy Spirit to show you secrets, to show you the things that pertain to your life? You know, it's not like some hide-and-go-seek thing. You know, like you go hide in the corner and then you tell him, come and get me. That's not what he's doing. He wants to show you the things that will make your lives better, that will make your lives easier, that will make your businesses more prosperous or your job better, how to get the promotion, how to win that neighbor, how to win that family member. He wants to show us what we need to see. He's not holding out. It would be against God's nature and character if the Holy Spirit was holding out, because God Amen. Is a liberal giver. Out of his mouth comes wisdom and understanding. And so, you know, if we're ever going to experience ever the spiritual truths that he wants us to have, then we're going to have our eyes opened up. Mm-hmm. There's going to have to be an opening of our eyes, an unveiling. That's what revelation is. It's like a veil being lifted. It's like something that one moment you couldn't see, the very next moment you see it, and that's all you can see. And that isn't something you fought your way into. It isn't something you reasoned your way into. It's just something that comes by a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. That's what revelation knowledge is. It's supernatural. It's a lifting. Now, it's not that he's really giving us a revelation. He's just showing us. It's not something that's being really given. What's being given to us is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the wisdom of God. That special insight is being given to us. But you know what? He used to have to give us something that we already have. Why do I say that? Because in Colossians, it tells us, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, in him, Colossians 2:3, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. Now, where are we? We're in him. So if we're in him and those things are in him, that means they're in us. They belong to us. They're already ours. 2 Corinthians goes on and tells us in chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ and that we hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. But we need to see. We need to see that. We have to be able to see what belongs there, what's right beyond the veil. We need to be able to see that. And I believe the key way of us ever getting to the place of seeing is just asking if we can see it. You know, if you're not honest enough to go into that place of prayer and ask God, Lord, show me where I'm stumbling here. Show me what I'm not seeing. Show me why am I having problems financially? And then man up enough to listen to what he says.
Amen.
Don't make excuses. If he says, look, You know, my word tells you how to handle things. Are you doing that? Be honest. You know, you can't kid God.
Amen.
You can't, well, God, you know, this excuse and that excuse and this excuse. It doesn't, God knows better. He just sits back and laughs. There, that's enough. But ask, and then be honest. Have an honest enough heart to be honest, to accept what he shows you. And you know what repentance is? Means you change your mind and you go the way he shows you to go. Mm-hmm. Repentance doesn't mean you have to grovel and cry and weep over the fact that you missed it. Yeah. Repentance is the word metanoia. It means you change your mind. When God shows you something, you better change your mind about that.
Amen.
Amen. You better change your mind and you better just order your steps that way. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's there to help us with that as well. So he says, ask. Ephesians chapter 1, we've been looking at that passage a lot in the Equip class. He tells us, Paul says, I never stop praying this way for the church. I'm constantly asking that God would grant you a spirit of wisdom.
Yeah.
And revelation. That wisdom, again, is the word. The Greek word is not talking about natural human wisdom. It's talking about supernatural insight. That's not something you can intellectually arrive at. It's something beyond the realm of human understanding. It's something, it's a God thought. It's a God insight. It's a God thing. Then it also tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me. In other words, ask me. And what does he say? I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. And this is an Old Testament promise. He says, I'll show you. You just have to ask. Jesus said in the Gospels, didn't he say, ask and it'll be given to you? Actually, the Greek says, ask and keep asking. You know what? You keep asking until you get what you need. Until you see, and really what it is that we need isn't that the, if you're in a financial mess, it's not money that you need, it's insight that you need. You need wisdom.
Yeah.
Amen? You don't need more money because you're going to keep the same stupid mistakes you've been making all along. Amen? I mean, until you get some insight that causes you to repent, you'll keep making the same mistakes. Same with marriages. Why do people that divorce end up getting remarried and remarried and remarried and remarried again? Because they keep making, because they're the common factor in that equation. They think, well, if I just get rid of this one and find me another one, it'll be better. But if they don't make some changes, if they don't get some revelation and make some changes, they're just going to end up doing the same stupid things over and over again. I know that sounds offensive. I don't mean to be offensive, but sometimes it is offensive. So, anyway. But John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He will announce and show us the things that are to come in our lives. You know what? We don't have to make mistakes. Our lives don't have to be riddled with failures. We can have a successful life. We can have a successful marriage. We can be parts of successful businesses. Our lives can be blessed.
Yeah,
amen?
Right.
Because we are hooked up with something supernatural. And God wants that for us. See, first of all, you have to settle that once and for all that God, you know that God wants that for you.
Amen.
That he wants you to be blessed.
For us.
You know, what parent doesn't want their child to be blessed? What parent wants their child to suffer and to limp through life? A sick parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
A demented parent would want that, you know. That is not a good parent. A parent will provide education for their children. They'll guide them. They'll help them make proper decisions. Eventually, they'll come to a certain point in life where they cut them loose and hope that they can walk in the wisdom that they imparted to them. But they want what's good for them. And even when that child steps out and makes mistakes, that parent loves them and is there for them. And that's our Father God. I don't care how messed up. We were so messed up financially for so long. Pastor tells about how when he gets the bills, he'd just throw them in a drawer and close the drawer and just pretend that they didn't exist. You know, the problem is, the next month they came again. They came back again and again and again and again. We had a whole lot of learning to do. A whole lot of growing to do. And God was very patient with us. God never said, well, you dug yourself into this mess, and you're going to dug yourself out. dig yourself out, sorry. He never said that to us. He helped us. God helped us. How? He showed us what we needed to see. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. The problem is we don't want to take steps. We want to take leaps. We want to leap from here to that wall and think that that's what we really need. No, what we need to do is we need to take every step that's required to get to that wall and learn what we need to learn on the way there. Amen? So, according to Colossians, that scripture we looked at earlier here, it says all the information we could possibly need already resides on the inside of us. How do we learn? We need to learn how to draw it out. You know, I believe this is where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes in. And being blessed. Again, people say, well, do I have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do I have to pray in other tongues? Again, how do you answer a question when you know something is such a huge, huge blessing? Mm-hmm. That's like sitting down at Christmas and having somebody put a big old box in your lap and go, well, do I have to open this present?
Come on.
You know, do I have to use this? Do I have to enjoy this gift you gave me? Do I have to use it? Do I even have to know it exists? What if it's of the devil? You know, my conversation with my husband lately was about the whole thing about tongues is of the devil. It's like, well, it wasn't of the devil in Acts chapter 1, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't of the devil. When did that transformation take place? When did it become of the devil? If somebody could answer that, and with a really good argument, I might listen, but it was never of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And we've heard all the other stuff. We never did it when we were of the devil, so. And we were. We were bad kids for a while. So I believe that a key element of this, of entering into and understanding the wisdom of God and the revelation of God, I really believe a key element of this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues. Because when you pray in other tongues, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that you edify yourself. You build yourself up. Jude chapter verse 20 says that, it says, build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. There's something that takes place when we pray in the Spirit that bypasses. They've actually done scientific studies of what goes on in the human brain when they pray in the Spirit. That the normal speech part of the brain isn't even touched when you pray in the Spirit. It bypasses things. You're in a God realm when you pray in the Holy Spirit. And after praying in the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. You know, if I'm struggling with something and I just don't seem to be able to grasp, get the answer that I'm looking for. I spend time praying in the Spirit, and it's amazing how He'll direct me to a passage of Scripture, or just like that, that answer will come. Because I built myself up. I got myself to a place where I could receive what He had to say. Sometimes it just takes some spiritual strength to even receive the things God wants to show you.
That's true.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
So, you know, I think I'm done here with what I wanted to share.